In the 1970s, doctors and hospitals became very good at helping very premature infants survive. But studies that followed these babies into childhood show they have also faced many problems, from cerebral palsy to low IQs. Now a study in this week's New England Journal of Medicine looks at what happens to premature babies as they become adults. And as NPR's Rachel Jones reports, they still have learning deficits, but they're better off in other ways.
Maureen Hack can't help being upbeat about the premature babies she began studying more than 20 years ago. There are so many success stories, like the baby with severe cerebral palsy, who now has a job working with disabled children.
And he also works downtown at the ball games, helping sell things. So despite a major neurologic problem, he is functioning to the best of his ability.
Hack directs the neonatal high-risk follow-up program at Rainbow Babies and Children's Hospital in Cleveland. She began her research in 1977 by monitoring 242 babies who weighed less than 3 pounds at birth and then followed up with them at ages 2 and 8. As they grew up, these preemies had lower IQs and other disabilities. Very premature babies often face a range of developmental obstacles, from bleeding in the brain to infection in the amniotic fluid.
They suffer from lung disease, and they can suffer from lack of oxygen, poor growth, infections. And all these conditions or illnesses in the early newborn period can affect brain growth and development.
Her newest study examined the same group as 20-year-olds. As expected, they had lower IQs and fewer graduated from high school or went to college than a control group. With that information, Hack made some other predictions.
We hypothesized that there would be more risk-taking and alcohol and drug abuse and deviance.
Because research already linked those behaviors to lower IQs. But Hack was surprised to discover that the preemies' rates of drug and alcohol use and early sexual behavior were the same or lower than the controls. This finding also surprised Marie McCormick, who chairs the Maternal and Child Health Branch at the Harvard School of Public Health. McCormick wrote the editorial that ran with the study. She says the new research is important because it broadens the picture of what happens as a premature baby grows up. Still, McCormick cautions that Hack's results may not apply to the general population of premature babies.
Her results are skewed towards a much more disadvantaged population.
Half the preemies in Hack's study came from low-income, inner-city Cleveland families. While researchers tried to control for race and socioeconomic background, McCormick believes demographics affected the results.
These children also, you know, are susceptible to environmental conditions that will either enhance or detract their development.
McCormick suspects that a group of middle and upper middle class preemies would have reported better outcomes. She also thinks low birth weight babies born today will do even better because of continuing advances in neonatal care. Barbara Howard agrees. She's a pediatrician at the Johns Hopkins University Medical School. She says doctors today are learning how to be gentler with the premature brain.
We've learned something about what steroids, for example, can do and can't do in premature babies. We're learning about how carefully we need to use the ventilator, and we're learning about which antibiotics are the best ones for preventing any potential brain damage.
All of which should have a positive effect on a premature baby's IQ and learning potential. Hack thinks this may benefit preemies from all socioeconomic backgrounds. But while technology is improving physical outcomes for preemies, other aspects of their lives might not need to be changed. Howard suspects parents in her study were probably closely involved with their fragile babies throughout their lives, which may have helped them avoid risky behavior later on.
It's really possible that that's what we're seeing in that, even though they may not have had equal educational success, they may be more successful as people in life.
Hack wants to continue studying these young adults over the next few years to learn more about their physical and psychological development. Rachel Jones, NPR News, Washington.
There's more about this study on our website, npr.org.